Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We start a new sermon series this morning that is going to take a look at the book of Genesis. So many wonderful stories and characters come from Genesis, like the flood, Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt, the Tower of Babel, the story of Abraham, Jacob, and of course my favorite, Joseph. But the book of Genesis starts with the story of creation that sets the foundation of our faith. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." The creation story answers so many questions of life for us. Where we came from, why we're here, why bad things happen to people, and what's going to happen in the future. Genesis 1:31 says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." God loves his creation, and he wants to fellowship with us. We see it in Genesis 3, where God is walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was personally involved with Adam and Eve and enjoyed his time with them. But we see Satan destroyed that initial relationship with God, and he tries to do the same thing today with us. But God promises us in Genesis 3:15 that he will send someone that will destroy Satan's power. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Never forget, God loves you. He sent his son Jesus for each one of us. He wants to meet you in your daily life to restore and comfort you. I encourage you to read Genesis this month and see the great power of God in creation. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And thank you for listening.
Our senior choir sings, "O Lord, how majestic is your name."
Above the heavens high, how much
David Gademeier reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon on the simple church.
Today's first scripture lesson is from Acts 8, verses 1 through 8. And Saul was consenting to his death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste to the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to a city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the multitudes with one accord gave heed to what was said by Philip. And when they heard him, they saw the signs which he did. For unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed, crying with a loud voice. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. This ends the first lesson. Our second lesson is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 20. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But what we are known, what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who pride themselves on man's position and not his heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, for we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This ends today's scripture lessons.
We are finishing up our series this morning on a simple church, talking about all the ways that we need to continue to grow as disciples. We talked about connecting through worship early on, and we've seen that taking place here. We've had a really good stretch, you know, when we went into the pandemic, and I still hear churches talk today. I'll visit with different ministers, different people, and they'll say, man, we're still struggling coming out of the pandemic a couple of years later. And I feel like we went through it. We came through it on the other side. We were prepared when we came out of it. And last month, we averaged over 180 in our worship service. So people are putting a priority on connecting through worship. We're also seeing people grow spiritually. We're one of them are right now meeting and making sure that they're putting prayer and Bible reading and fellowship all together. And that's what we talked about a few weeks ago. The importance of sharing our lives with one another, not just only on Sunday mornings, but taking advantage of times outside these walls to get to know each other so we can carry each other's burdens. And we have one of those opportunities tonight out at Salem, and we have it every Wednesday night. We're seeing people then get together in their Sunday school groups, and we're seeing them wanting to get to know one another so that they can grow. 2 weeks ago, we talked about serving, finding our talents and our abilities, and all of us have them. They change over time. They may adjust as we get older from the time that we were younger and had a little bit more energy and vigor and different things, but we have talents and abilities. And we're seeing those obviously work out in our church right now. Like I said, if you haven't checked out the nursery, check that out. We're also having to add a Sunday school classroom for our younger children. We're being blessed with young families, and we've got people that are painting. We're seeing the high school classroom being revamped with new furniture and some new things being done in there. People are using their talents and abilities to find a place to serve. But then that all comes down for the purpose of why we do all these things. It comes down to the last one of Simple Church. The ultimate thing that we want to do as a Christian is to be able to share with one another the hope and the faith that we share. We tell the good news to others by showing them that Jesus lives in our hearts. We also know that most people become part of a church family because they are invited by someone and feel welcomed when they come. That's kind of the two-part sandwich right now. To be invited and to be welcome when you walk through the doors, to feel accepted, that people want you there and people love you for being there. But we all have a story to tell. You spend 5 or 10 minutes with someone that you don't know, you're going to find out something unique that's only, that maybe something that only goes to that person. I remember I was preaching at a little church up in Higbee, Missouri. If you've ever been to Higbee, you know there's not much there except the Casey's and the school. But I did hear that they have made a step up in progress. They've opened up a Dollar General. About every little town got their Dollar General. They've got their Dollar General finally in Higbee, Missouri. I filled in there 2 summers when they were in between ministers, and I got to know different people. And the first summer I was there, I asked, I said, is there anyone that's not coming that used to come that I could maybe call on? And they said, well, there's one fellow. He still sends his offering in, but his health has started to decline, and we'll ask. And so the family came back the next Sunday, and they said, well, Jim wants to make it to church on his own. He's not ready for a visit yet, but he'll let you know if he is. And so the summer went through and no visit came. I was back the next summer. And so the family was there, and I asked about Jim, and they said, you know, he would love for you to come by and visit him. And so I went by and visited Jim. We had communion together, found out his life story. He had started out in Chicago, ran away from home to a ranch out in Wyoming to become a cowboy, led trail rides into Yellowstone, the ranch that he worked for. The lady that owned it had knew personally the widow of George Armstrong Custer from Little Bighorn, could tell him stories that she had heard from him, could show him memorabilia that she had. A fascinating life. Somehow he found his way to Higbee, Missouri. We only got a couple visits in. I left there, and eventually we moved down here, and it was January 1st, 2020. And who knew what 2020 was going to be? That's just the way my year started in 2020. I got a phone call that night that Jim had passed away. And the family wanted me to do the funeral for him. And so we went up there and got everything set up. But it was a beautiful service. But it would never known if I'd never made the effort to go out and know this gentleman and find out his story. We all have a story to share. And that is the ultimate of what we have in our faith, is to share our story about Jesus. Well, you'd maybe say, well, that's what we pay you for. That's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why you have all, you know, all the comings and goings that come with that. And that is part of the ability of an evangelist. We are to call to use our gift. But when you read Scripture, we begin to see that Jesus has kind of included all of us as a team. We have the coach, we have the players, we have the trainers, but all of our purpose is to share our story. We see in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was leaving, he told his disciples, he says, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell my story. What you've seen, what you've felt, what you've experienced, you're going to share that stories with others. A big thing that's happened in the last few years, probably the last 5 or 10 years, is these food trucks. We see food trucks here in California from time to time. When I worked in Columbia, we'd have them out on the street. I worked downtown Columbia just off of Broadway, and we'd have barbecue ones, we'd have fish ones, we'd have Mexican ones, Chinese ones. You could go to, you didn't have to go to the restaurant anymore. The restaurant came to you. That's a pretty good deal, man. They have the Blue Fish Shack, I think, occasionally over there. They have the barbecue. I think they bring their little thing out there. They come to you. See, that's what Jesus is saying here. We're the spiritual food trucks that deliver the food and the message of the gospel to those around us. We could leave these doors open. We could promote giveaways, and we do advertise. We have different things that we try to advertise who we are. But when we read in Acts chapter 8, what happened to the church right there? David just read it. They were persecuted. They were chased out of Jerusalem. Why? The reason I think is that God didn't want them there. He wanted them to go to the world and knew that if they stayed there and were comfortable, the message would stay there in Jerusalem. He said, it's time to go. It's time to get in your spiritual food truck and travel and bring the message up to the gospel to those around us. David read the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and when you read through that whole passage there, you get the idea definitely that we have a purpose in our life to persuade others, to answer people's questions, that we're compelled because of Christ's love, that he gave us the message to share with those around us. And then he sums it up with this, that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we are on the authority of the king, that we've been sent on a message from this land to a foreign land, and the only message that we can deliver is exactly what the king tells us to deliver. What's the message of our king? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a pretty good message to start with. Jesus said it himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. When we see here in Acts chapter 8, we see the church is under great persecution. To me, that'd be a time to kind of go into hiding. If you stuck your head out, Saul was going to find you, and look what we did there at the end of chapter 7. He had Stephen killed, and he was going from church to church, trying to destroy the church. Boy, you'd think that would be a time that you would go into hiding. That happened a couple years ago, didn't it? Pandemic come through, people closed down, tried to make us go into hiding. We either have faith or fear. We see the church here, how did they respond? We see in Acts chapter 8, what does this say? Those who've been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were under attack, and instead of going into hiding, what did they do? They preached about Jesus. You know, when I go fishing with my dad, we haven't fished for a week or two now. I'm starting to get a little shakes because I haven't fished in a couple weeks. But I know when the wind comes up or a big wave is coming our way, we don't ride the wave. What do? We turn the nose of the boat into the wind. We turn the nose of the boat into the wave because that's the best way to handle it. And that's what God is saying right here. He says, go into the midst of them and share the message. They preached it everywhere that they went. We see later on in Acts chapter 8 a story of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. It says there that the angel of the Lord whispered in Philip's ear and said, I want you to go to this specific person. He was a powerful man. He was a eunuch that served the king and the treasury of Ethiopia. And he was reading the gospel. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading a prophecy about Jesus, but he didn't understand it. And it says Philip ran up to him. Philip didn't casually walk. Philip didn't, you know, just say, man, I don't know if I want to do this or not. But he had heard the whisper, and he heard the man reading. And when he got up to him, what did the man say? He says, who is this man talking about? Who is this? He says, don't you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me? See, that's our purpose. To explain the message, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know as we're teaching the kids in the confirmation class. Could we say the books of the Bible right now, Hunter? Nope. He did Wednesday. All right, be ready for that. That's not what they're asking. They're asking, wanting to know is what you're studying, does it make a difference in your life? That's what people want to know. But how can we share the story that God has given us? Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Highlight it, write it down in your bulletin, and see what Peter has to say to us. And remember, Peter is writing to Christians that are under persecution again. Again, you would think this would be time to, you know, duck and hide, as they would say back in the 50s and the worry about nuclear war. Duck and hide under your desk. That was the way that we were going to survive that back then. Verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Number one, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. The first thing, make sure you got that piece of the pie, that piece of the puzzle, secure in your mind. Christ is in charge. God's in charge. He sent us the message. He walks with us every step of the way when the Holy Spirit lives with us. He's not going to send you anywhere that he's not already been. He says, get that first part that Christ is in charge. Set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior You mean there's going to be people that don't like Christians in our community? I can't believe that. May they be ashamed of their slander, for it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Did you catch it there? Always be prepared. Could you tell your story? If someone asks you why you don't live like the others around you, why you're not chasing after the things of the world, how do you endure such opposition? Or how do you endure the tough times that come along in life? The loss of a spouse, the loss of a child, the loss of a parent, the loss of a job, physical ailments, physical treatments, devastating news in the world. Could you answer them with your answer of your life? That's what Peter's telling us. From our middle school kids to our high school kids, and nothing warms my heart than seeing a whole row of high school kids sitting back there. When I was in high school, we set up here, our youth group with our youth minister. I'll take you wherever you're at. There's Cole right there. He's right there with Caden. All right, I'm sorry. The row is full. It's hard to miss you, Cole. Okay, it's hard to miss you. All right. But be prepared to give an answer to the hope that you have. Could you give an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus? Could you be able to tell in just a few sentences the reason why you follow Jesus? Why Jesus is number one in your life? Why Jesus is the reason that to make the decisions that you do? But then he gives us the next caveat that comes with, but do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. I think a lot of times we win a lot of arguments, but we lose a lot of influence. You know, what he's talking about here, there's going to be people that are going to chastise you, criticize you, call you all kinds of names because of your faith. Man, I want to respond. I want to just tackle them like I did when I played basketball. I know you don't tackle people in basketball, but I did it a couple times because I got frustrated. That's not the way you're supposed to respond. But he tells us to do it with gentleness and respect. The way you can do that is because you've set Christ as Lord. How did Christ respond when he was crucified? How did Christ respond when he was challenged? God forgive them, for they do not know what they do. But then he tells us how that we can develop our own story. You need to tell people your own faith journey. The Apostle Paul did. If you want some homework this week, write down Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26, Galatians 1, and Philippians 3. Paul used his own story over and over again when he preached. If there were people that followed him, they say, not again. We're going to hear the story of Paul's life again. He knew it was a powerful story. Look in Acts 26. This is just the third time that he gives it. Look what he says there. He says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, I was living just like you. I thought that was the way to go. And that was just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And they were put to death. I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. But then everything changed. On one of those journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest about noon. King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to whom to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. His life changed in a moment. Has your life changed in a moment because of a tragedy? Has your faith changed in a moment because something that was unexpected? Maybe Jesus was shining his bright light on you to get you ready to tell his story through your life. But people want to know the hope that you have. They want to know the reason why you come to church. And I know it's not because of the good preaching. It's not because of the food. although the food is great and the fellowship is wonderful, why do you come to church Sunday after Sunday? People want to know the life lessons that you learned, the failures that you've had, the pain and the sorrow, the success you've had, the time that you've seen God working, the struggles you've had with parenting and struggles with you've had with marriage, and how God has worked through every step of the way to point you in the right direction. The times when you've fallen, you've gotten up because of His grace. They want to know that their faith, your faith, is real. To use your godly passions to make a difference in the kingdom, whether it's in our Sunday school or whether it's out in the community, whether it's serving behind the scenes. We see it with our Rock. We see it with our Sunday school. We see it with our nursery, our choirs, obviously, our women's and our men's groups. Let God use your passions to make a difference, to share the news. And that's why it finally comes down. We've got to share the good news. There's people that you will make a difference in that will listen to you that will never listen to me because you have a similar upbringing. But we've got to share good news. I was preaching at a church one Sunday and I told the story because I was talking about the subject. We like to share good news. My dad called me one time. We had just gotten these brand new mole traps. I've told you about my mole stuff. He called me one day because he'd killed two moles, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. He couldn't wait to share the good news. And I use that as an illustration. Man, we got to share good news. And after church was over, people were shaking their hands. They weren't complimenting me on the sermon or on the desire to share the good news. You know what they were asking me? What's the name of that mole trap again? We've got good news to share that's a lot better than any mole trap ever invented. God calls us to be His witnesses. There's not one person God's created that He didn't love. Peter says it this way, instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you have a story to share? Does your story include Jesus as the main character? One of the last times that Paul writes and tells others about his story is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that He's considered me trustworthy, appoint me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Could you fill in your blank there? Even though I was once proud and arrogant and selfish, I only thought about myself. I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly with the faith and love there in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the very worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. If you think there's anyone that's beyond God's care and love, you're wrong. God is waiting for that person to have someone just share with them the same background, the same struggles, let them know that God is real, so that when they see that life change, all kinds of other lives will be changed because of it. I don't care what your story has been like so far. Let Jesus write the ending for now and for eternity. He tells us to come to Him and believe in Him, to confess His name, to repent, to follow Jesus' example of baptism. We've had several of those this year. If you've never made that decision for Jesus to follow Him, don't let another day go by. Remember, there was two thieves on the cross. One said, man, I'm taking advantage of my opportunity today. I'm going to change my life for eternity today. And the other one wasted it. What's your choice going to be? What's your story that you're going to share? I think too many times as parents and grandparents, we're worried about where our kids are going to go to college. Instead, we should be worried about where they're going to spend eternity. I think it's interesting in that passage where it says in Peter that when people ask you, we're not knocking on doors, we're not trying to beat people down. That's an interesting way to maybe try to start a relationship. Obviously, they saw something different in the people's lives under persecution. They wanted to know what the answer was.